Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Now, for those who listened to Radio Netherlands many years ago, there are three relay sites that you probably heard mentioned on the air before. I mean, on Radio Netherlands, that is. There was Madagascar, which was their relay site on the east coast of Africa, Bonaire in the Caribbean, and of course, Flevo. Now, despite the fact that Flevo hadn't been used for a number of years and actually sat idle, it was used for a time by the Ministry of Defense. But that all changed. That all changed when the Ministry of Defense decided to give it up, and the site was dismantled. We're going to revisit that site, and let's have Jonathan Marks present a special program that they did about the Flevo transmitter site. So let's now go to the Netherlands and Jonathan Marks. Jonathan?
Now, early on Saturday morning, March the 10th, I got a tip-off from Rokus de Joda, a colleague who used to work in Radio Netherlands' frequency bureau. He told me to get in the car and drive to see what's left of the Flevoland shortwave transmitter site. There were reports a few months ago that the new owner, the Dutch Ministry of Defence, wanted to take down the towers. It was going to take a couple of months, they said. Well, I packed a camera and headed for the Utopia Laan in Zeewolde, only to discover that everything, except the transmitter building, has completely disappeared. It's as though those giant antenna masts never existed. Now, I remember that a group of us ham radio operators were looking rather jealously at those curtain arrays when they were being put up. And on February the 16th and 17th, 1985, when the station was doing its first test transmissions, a group of us got permission to misuse the facility for that weekend. And I decided to try my hand at live broadcasting for the first time, and so we did all the Saturday transmissions in English, live from the new transmitter site. I kept two tapes, but please remember, this is 33 years ago, when there was no mobile phone, no internet, and certainly no Skype, and were actually broadcast over the old Lopik facilities.
Our thanks there to the Newsline team. And now, we move to the first part of our outside broadcast live spectacular. Shortwave Feedback, Flevo Special. Produced and presented by Jonathan Marks.
Hello from Flevo, as Pete just said. And before we go any further, an explanation of where we are. If you've got an atlas in front of you, you'll find us at 5 degrees 25 minutes east, I should say, 52 degrees 21 minutes north. If you're still searching for us, then find the IJsselmeer Lake. That's the large inland sea in the northwest of the country. If you look carefully, you'll see in the southern part of that lake, there's an island marked Flevoland. It's completely flat, and in contrast to the built-up areas of Amsterdam, Rotterdam, even Hilversum, there's wide open fields here as far as the eye could see. I say could because we're indoors. I'm sitting in a room about the size of a large sports hall, 50 metres long, 27 metres wide, and 9 metres high. Let's say half the size of a football pitch between us. Now, with me are five broadcast transmitters, all of them switched off, thank goodness, and two amateur radio transmitters which are definitely switched on. We're at the new transmitter building of Radio Netherlands, which has been in the testing phase for the last few months, and we've had several thousand reactions from listeners to say that it's working, so we know it does work well. Not today, though, or we'd blow ourselves up. We've switched off the new main transmitter so we can plug in two amateur radio transmitters instead into the huge antenna masts outside. There are 16 towers out there behind me in a sort of bent T-shape. Strung between those masts are some 20 highly directional antennas, which represent the ultimate for the shortwave listener. Wouldn't be great to have one of those in the back garden. Well, the biggest one is 122.35 metres high, so they tell me, and it weighs 180,000 kilos. In fact, in total, there's 1 million kilos of steel in this particular place. Well, now, between now and 18 hours UTC tomorrow, Sunday, a small group of us here have got the chance to use these antennas for a unique experiment. And if you're an active amateur radio operator, there's a chance that you can contact us here. Through the glass doors in front of me are two amateur radio stations. They're on the air via these huge antennas. So just to see how far they can get, we're going to walk into there now. So hang on while I grab a microphone. I'm going to give my script to my... Right, here we go. Wandering now with a piece... with a huge cable. And past the cameras, we've got the local press here today. And we're moving now into the antenna matrix switching room. With me is a well-known voice on Radio Netherlands from the past, Wim van Amstel. Remember the days of Media Networks, even DX Jukebox?
Yes, and I gladly enjoy to be once again in on a Media Network event, and an event which is very great indeed, because as you said, we are standing in a very modern transmitter hall here, and it looks very splendid indeed with all that technical equipment around us. And of course, this is a unique event to have two radio amateur transmitters on these huge antenna masts outside. And I must say, thanks to my present employer, the PDT, who made this all possible.
Right, we've been on the air now for about an hour, as far as the amateur radio station's concerned. Do you know how many contacts we've made?
Well, we made about 80, and it's going very good indeed, because we are at present working on... in amateur terms, on the 40-meter band on a frequency of about 7,068 kHz. I say about because due to interference, it's sometimes necessary to change the frequency a bit. But as I said, we're working now on 40 meters and 20 meters, and the contacts so far on 40 meters are about 40 to 45 contacts up to a distance to New Zealand, Australia, Colombia, Canada, and even Israel, which is not in the beam of the antenna, but it's going very well indeed. On 20 meters, we had some problems to start off with, but it's working fine now. And also there, the contacts are running good.
But the sunspot numbers are pretty low at the moment, aren't they? So what about conditions?
Well, I think that was one of the problems we encountered on 20 meters, because the frequency is slightly too high early in the morning here from the Netherlands. So it's understandable that it works better in an easterly direction now.
Is amateur radio a popular hobby in this part of the world?
It sure is. There are, well, Holland, as you know, has a population of around 14 million, and there are no less than 13,000 amateurs in the Netherlands. Approximately one-third of them has an A license, which is, let's say, the full license in Holland, the most extended license.
What's a B license then?
Well, the B license gives certain restrictions to work on certain parts of the bands, so that amateur is not allowed to make use of certain parts of the amateur spectrum.
Now, just a few miles away is where you live, in fact. How does this compare with the ordinary dipole in the garden?
Yes, it sure is. As you know, I have a dipole in the garden myself, and when you look outside, you mentioned it already in your announcement of this program, there are antenna masts that are more than 120 meters high right to the right of us. And it sure makes a hell of a difference, because, let's say, the gain that you obtain here from these huge antennas is more than 20 dB, which is in amateur circles something spectacular, I can say.
Now, when you come on the air, you have to have a call sign so that people can identify you. Today we're using PA6FLD. FLD, of course, standing for Flavorland. But people will need a special sort of radio. I mean, we're working at the moment on so-called AM that people are familiar with, but on the amateur bands we're using something different.
Yes, we use on the amateur band a different mode of transmission, which is called SSB, single sideband. Well, if you are not used to it, the sound, it sounds a bit like a Donald Duck voice, but amateurs are certainly very experienced in copying that signal, and I'm sure that a lot of DXs and shortwave listeners who occasionally tune into the amateur bands are familiar with the sound too.
Well, in addition to shortwave, amateur radio operators are also active in satellite technology, namely the so-called OSCAR satellites, that means orbiting satellite carrying amateur radio, paving away new techniques that have often been adapted for professional use later. The experimental side of radio is changing, but it certainly isn't dead. Let's just have a listen to some of the contacts going on at the moment. The operator behind the microphone is René. And what frequency are you on at the moment?
I'm on 7.068, Jonathan.
Right. And who have you just contacted?
This is Pete in Quito, Ecuador, although we have now some tuning signal on the frequency.
That's a familiar sound. It's the over-the-horizon radar system.
You're still on, Pete. Hotel Charlie 1, Oscar Tango, Papa Alpha 6, Foxtrot Lima Delta. Hotel Charlie 1, Oscar Tango, PA 6, Fox Lima Delta. You still on, Pete? Alpha Nancy Radio, stand by, please. Pete, well, if I understand that correct, you're in the media network transmission also at this moment, Pete. So Hotel Charlie 1, Oscar Tango in Quito, Ecuador. This is PA 6, Foxtrot Lima Delta. Roger, Roger, Pete. It's Papa Alpha 3, Bravo, Sierra, Sierra. BSS for the QSL.
There's a pile-up going on at the moment. They're talking about QSLs. Now, obviously, we're going to give a QSL away. And, well, hang on. They're working on something. Hang on, let's go back to the transmitter.
Alpha November Romeo. Come again, please.
Fox Lima Delta, ZL2 Alpha and Nancy Romeo. Good morning to you. What a signal. You're 5 9 plus about 5 to 10. And nice to hear you coming through off the antenna system. So, how good 36 hours? The name is Jim, Japan, India, Mexico, QDH near Wellington. And you've got the VK boys, the WIA boys are standing by to talk to you. PA6 Fox Lima Delta, ZL2 ANR.
Roger, Jim, ZL2 ANR, PA6 FLD. Well, you're booming in as well here in Vlevo, the QTH, Foxtrot Lima Echo Victor Oscar. And for your information, at this moment we're using 16 folded dipoles beaming into your direction, and the antenna gain is approximately 22.7, although I understood that people get angry if I speak about approximately, because it is 22.7 decibels, Jim. So back to you, ZL2 ANR, PA6 FLD.
Yeah, Roger, RNA, PA6 FLD, ZL2 ANR, a beautiful signal. So I hope you have a lot of fun over the weekend. You've only got a short lease on it, I believe, so you'll get out very, very well. It's a great gain in an antenna system, isn't it? My word. I guess you'll all be wanting it in your own home yard. Now, the WIA boys of Australia, the Australian boys, are listening on frequency, and I think they're waiting to talk to you. So I won't hold you, but you've got a terrific signal, and it just shows where the game should be. 7-3s, have a good weekend, and I hope it all works out well for... I hope it all works out well for Hilderson when they get it going properly. 73
APA 6 ZL2 ANR. Bye bye. Okay, Jim. ZL2 ANR, PA 6 FLD. Thank you very much for the nice contact. And your signal was sounding like a local broadcasting station here. So 73, and I hope to meet you again on one of the other bands in this weekend. ZL2 ANR, PA 6 FLD. Bye bye.
Right, okay. There was mention there of a QSL card. If you do want a QSL card from PA6 FLD, first of all, you're going to have to hear the contact, not that particular one, I'm afraid. You're going to have to tune it in yourself. We need the date, the time, and the frequency, obviously. We need details of how well it was coming through. Also, your name and address, and also details of your receiver and antenna. And that should be sent to the Frequency Bureau, Radio Netherlands, P.O. Box 222, in Hilversum, Holland. That's PO Box 222, Hilversum in Holland. They're busy now contacting the amateurs in Australia at the moment. We'll move away for a moment. We'll come back in a few minutes, because as well as amateur radio, we thought it'd be a good opportunity to tell you something about the broadcast transmitters here. They're switched off at the moment, but we can do a bit of time travelling to move the clock back some 48 hours. You don't need crystal balls or mediums when you're in the media, but nevertheless, the person speaking next sounds remarkably like me. Yes, of course I sound like you, stupid. Today's Thursday as we're recording this. It's about 4:15, and I'm standing now in the transmitting hall of the Favo Transmitting Complex. Four transmitters here, as you can hear in the background, working away. It's rather strange, in fact, because you can hear voices coming out of these huge cabinets, and those voices are members of the English section at the moment, as we're busy with our transmission towards Asia. As you can hear, there's a lot of noise in the background, so I'm going to walk now through into the antenna matrix switching room, where it's a little bit quieter. Right. So just in the background here, you can still hear Media Network going out to Asia. With me is Henk Terlouw, who's the project manager of this particular project. First of all, how strong are the transmitters?
The output power of the transmitters is about 500 kilowatt. Depending on the mode of operation, of course, we can also operate the transmitters in DAM, dynamic amplitude modulation.
And what's the advantage of that? Because that, I understand, is a new technique.
The advantage of DAM is energy saving. You save about 30% of the normal energy in relation with AM.
So if this is using all the modern technology, as you say, I presume then the transmitters here must be far more efficient than those at the old Lopik.
Yes, the efficiency of these transmitters is about 70%, and the efficiency of the old Lopik transmitters is about 50 till 60%, so the efficiency is much better.
But the power bill is much bigger, isn't it? Because we've got four 500 kilowatt transmitters here and only four 100 kilowatt transmitters at Lopik.
Oh yes, the power consumption here in Flevoland is very high. The power bill itself is about two times higher per transmitter.
Right, let's try and build up a picture of one of these transmitters in front of us. It's a sort of light grey cabinet, I should say. It's divided into two, and each cabinet is about 8 meters long and about 2 meters high. On one end, you've got a nice green lamp burning at the moment, which means that the thing's on the air. But why is it divided into two?
That means that there are two main parts of the transmitter. The first part is the high-tension rectifier part and the PDM part of the transmitter. The other cabinet is the RF part of the transmitter itself. In this way, the dimensions of this transmitter, of these modern transmitters, remains relatively small.
Now let's deal with each part of the transmitter one by one. You mentioned that there was a high tension side. Mm-hmm. Now normally when you plug into the household mains, you get sometimes 110 or even 250 volts here in Europe. How many volts does Flevo take?
Flevo takes from the power company about 10 kilovolts.
10 kilovolts, that's 10,000 volts.
That means 10,000 volts, of course, yes. After that, we have a transformer, and at the secondary side of the transformer, we have 22 kilovolts, that means 22,000 volts. These voltages are rectified, and then we have a voltage of about 30 kilovolts.
But I can imagine with all that high voltage around, you have to be very careful that people don't come into contact with the bits that are at 30,000 volts.
Yes, you must be very, very careful when you are working with voltages of this level.
I see there are locks in the doors all over the building.
When you want to enter a cubicle or a cabinet of the transmitter, by means of this key, you switch off the high voltage.
Right, the other part of the transmitter is, in fact, the radio frequency part of the transmitter. That's, I think, of most interest to the shortwave listener, because otherwise we wouldn't get on the air. But you say it's 70% efficient, right? Mm. That means that 70% of the energy we take from the main supply actually gets onto the airwaves. But what happens to the other 30%?
Well, the other 30% is available in the water cooling circuit and in the air cooling circuit.
Because these things get hot, don't they?
Oh, yes, they are really hot. In the water cooling circuit, the temperature is about 80 degrees. We can have a look at it if you wish. In the air cooling circuit, the temperature is about 45 degrees.
And one of the hottest parts of the transmitter is the so-called final valve or the final tube. How do you keep that cool?
We keep it cool by means of distilled water. About 9,000 liters of water per hour are in this cooling system. This water is pumped on the tube itself. It changes into steam, and after that it condenses, and it's taken out from the transmitter as water.
But it's not only water that's used to cool the transmitter.
No, there's also an air cooling system in the transmitter. The temperature of the outgoing air is about 40-45 degrees, and we use that for heating purposes in the building itself.
I know that one station in South America has actually built an indoor swimming pool next to the transmitter site and is using the excess energy there to heat the pool. Any plans for that here?
No, there are no plans to bring a swimming pool here, but there are other purposes, for instance, a fish farm and perhaps vegetables, who knows, in this surrounding.
Right, we've got a rather long lead on the microphone, so let me just let you hear why we didn't record this part of the conversation in that room where the cooling process takes place. Have a listen to this. Wow, it's really noisy in there. Let's get out. Right, now back into the transmitter hall. Listening to Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service, live from the Flevo transmitting site. Well, we have broadcasting colleagues, of course, and we understand that Radio Australia set up an amateur radio station today, and we're trying to get contact with them now. So let's go and listen to what Renee is saying to them.
Victor Kilo 3 Oscar Mike, this is Papa Alpha 6 Foxtrot Lima Delta, PA 6 Fox Lima Delta, calling Victor Kilo 3 Oscar Mike. Are you on?
In the shack with us, and both of us are associated with the Talkback program on Radio Australia. It's very nice to be with you on your program on Radio Netherlands. And here's Mike to say hello to you all over there.
Well, on behalf of the Talkback team on Radio Australia, I'd like to extend the warmest greetings to you, Garth and Marks, and all of the team involved with PA6FLD at Flevo and Radio Netherlands. This is real Talkback radio, and well done. It's a tremendous success. We're picking you up well on 7068 kHz, but we can't hear you on 14 megs at all as yet. Anyway, we're going to keep listening. Over.
Roger, Mike. Victor Kilo 3 Oscar Mike, Papa Alpha 6 Foxtrot Lima Delta. Good morning to you there, Mike and Ron. Thank you for coming back to the call. Of course, the report. You're coming in quite strong.
Perhaps I can just ask how are conditions out there at the moment?
Okay, you heard Jonathan, so back to you, VK3 Oscar
Radio
Mike.
Radio conditions, of course.
VK3 Oscar Mike, PA6 FLD.
VK6FLD, VK3OM calling and returning. Fine, Jonathan, nice to hear you. Conditions here certainly on 40 metres on the frequency that we're operating now appears to be very, very good indeed. We've been hearing quite a few European signals coming through around about this frequency, and I would say at the moment it's certainly the optimum frequency for contacts into your part of Europe. Anyway, Mike's still here, and he might be able to tell you a little bit more about the conditions. He's the propagation man. Here he is.
Hello there, Mike Bird here. We've got a problem here. We've got a disturbed geomagnetic field. I don't quite know what it's doing to the ionosphere, but conditions look pretty good from Central Europe, but we can't hear anything from Holland or Britain. Quite what's happening, I don't know, but maybe there is some sort of depression going on. As you said earlier on the program, the sunset count is very low indeed, and I should think it would have some sort of effect on 14 makes. Anyway, we'll keep with it. This is a wonderful experience, and we'll keep listening. Over.
Okay, we're going to go further with the transmission now, Mike, but thank you very much indeed, and of course our very best wishes to all of you at Radio Australia as well, and good luck with the talkback programme. As you say, it's real talkback radio. Now, let me go on by telling you that we've moved frequency on the other transmitter. We're now on 14216.9, and I think it's about time we had some music.
All right, thank you very much, Jonathan. And next week, we will bring you part two of that extraordinary program that was done many, many years ago on Radio Nederland from the Flevo transmitter site. If you wish to get in touch with us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. On behalf of everyone at PCJ Radio International, I'm Keith Powell wishing you well, saying so long, take care. 73 and 88 to the ladies.
Yeah.